Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1 p.m. and that is Pacific Summer Time. We had the change of time here in the U.S. over the weekend. Today is March 11th, and we had a pretty impressive rebound in technology shares today, with the NASDAQ up 148 points. That's almost 2%. And this is a pretty sound rebound from the 7,000 level. 7,000 has been a rather important psychological level because it represented an area of resistance back in November and December. The NASDAQ had led on the downside. It had a sequence of lower rally highs, whereas when we think about the S&P 500, those highs were all level around the 2,800 point level. So the advance we've had in the NASDAQ today is impressive. It is a clear upward dynamic. And that in particular is noteworthy because when we think about the outlook, for example, with shares like Apple, then it really did need to have a pretty impressive rebound. It's right in the region now of the trend mean. When we look at it over the course of a decade, Apple's trend has been punctuated by some really quite profound pullbacks. And this is another one of those. What I find particularly interesting is that when we look at it on the arithmetic scale, this is obviously by far the largest of the pullbacks that we've seen. But when we look at it on a logarithmic scale, then it puts it into perspective. And I think that the fact that in percentage terms it is actually quite similar to the pullbacks we've had previously should highlight to people that it isn't simply traders are interested in Apple, but also investors. It was upgraded by Merrill Lynch, or Bank of America, in here today. And that has now pushed it up and out of the most recent little range. What we can certainly go back and look at is that on each of the previous occasions when it's had one of these deep medium-term corrections, it has taken approximately a year to recoup the decline. So there has been approximately 40% of the decline already recouped. And we certainly have scope for additional upside, but I think it would be very rash to anticipate that Apple is going to march all the way straight back up to the highs and break out. Apple has clearly made the decision, as usual, that they are not going to be at the forefront of either folding phones or 5G phones, and they're going to wait to see what works in the market and then try and improve upon it. Well, that suggests that it's going to be a while before we have new standalone products from Apple. In the meantime, they are trying to build out their subscription business model, and what that is basically an attempt to monetize their fan base, which is very large indeed. Nvidia was also in a very impressive upward territory in here today. And that's the first real clear upper dynamic we've seen in quite some time. It takes it to the upper side of what is potentially an evolving base formation. One of the reasons that Nvidia pulled back so violently was because of the... I think people hadn't quite understood just how reliant the sales of GPUs had been on the cryptocurrency bull market. Well, that became clearly evident in the third quarter, and the market pulled back very sharply. Well, with the acquisition of Mellanox in here today, then Nvidia is starting to stake out where it sees its future, and that does suggest that they are going to concentrate more on the server farms, which is an offshoot of, or at least on which, cloud computing is heavily reliant. The build-out of of server farms has been going on for the last few years. It was certainly one of the very clear sources of demand growth for companies like both Intel and AMD, and Nvidia now wants to obviously take a part of that, but it is interesting that it is coming up towards the upper side of its range. And I thought the other share that is particularly interesting in here is Facebook. It has now been able to consolidate above its trend mean. I think one of the things that Facebook has done rather artfully has been to avoid regulation by self-flagellating in front of Congress back in the middle of last year, and then volunteering to police its own network. They've so far been able to avoid very clear overt regulation. Now that they have started to think about how they are going to combat the rise of Snapchat, they've been over the last year and a half, they've basically been cannibalizing everything that Snapchat has been offering, and now they're moving into a smaller social media circle. If we think about it, something that one of the writers of Strattery was talking about last week was that Facebook is essentially a town square, whereas Snapchat is much more about the living room. It's much more about a very small and private social media space. Well, what Facebook now attempts to be trying to do is to concentrate on things like Instagram and WhatsApp in order to create this more small and private space, whereas also having the larger town square Facebook app. But the growth of the business is much more on those smaller social media spaces, and then that is now being reflected in the share price because they're articulating a strategy to continue to grow and to control social media. And that's, I think, when you start to look at the fact that the NYSE FANG index has been out in the cold for a while. But now what we're starting to see is that it's firming from the region of the trend mean. Well, this is beginning to suggest that we are getting a revival of interest in the large cap technology shares. That's most particularly the case for Amazon. It has been trading in a very narrow range for this share over the course of the last 2.5 months. It rebounded very impressively from the $1,600 area in here today, but it's going to have to push above the $1,700 area in order to really confirm that we're back in a medium-term demand-dominated environment. If it can do that, well, then the buy-the-dip strategy, which has prevailed for a decade in Amazon, will have been vindicated. And that is likely to be one of the causal factors in starting to attract money back from the fringes. There's still a lot of cash sitting on the sidelines. If Amazon can break on the upside, well, that would be a certainly something to help to boost confidence. Then Google has been firming from around the $1,000 area. It was in negative territory last week, but then breaking upwards in here today, up a good solid $28. So that's really quite impressive, and it's suggesting that Google is back on a recovery trajectory. It has quite clearly broken its sequence of lower rally highs, and it is back above the trend mean, and this is looking really quite positive. So we're starting to see that the major or I guess the mega cap technology shares are definitely starting to do better. Now, when we start to look around the globe, then the pound has started to rally once more. It was up over a cent against the dollar. That is an upside key reversal. So that is confirming support in the region of this $1.30 area. Now, when we look at this on a weekly basis, it is firming from the region of the trend mean. The pop on the upside we had 3 weeks ago broke the sequence of lower rally highs against the dollar. Then we've had a great deal of back and forth trading against the euro over the last few sessions, but it is now firming from the 115 area, and this was a really quite dynamic move in here today. The market would appear to be concluding that the no deal scenario is going to be taken off the table, and that it is quite likely that the deadline for Brexit is going to get pushed further out. Every time it has looked like the pound is going to remain closer to the EU, the pound it has rallied. Then there is obviously a clear base formation completion going on here, which suggests that the market is pricing in the conclusion of this epic Brexit ordeal. Well, when we look at the UK stock market, then the FTSE 100 has been steady around this 7,000 level, and that range has at least broken the sequence of lower rally highs evidenced since May. But if the pound rallies further, it is going to represent a headwind for UK assets, not least because they had done so very well when the pound had been weak. The FTSE 250 index was in barely positive territory in here today and was down for 3 days last week. There are of course two arguments. One is going to be the strength of the pound is going to be a headwind in terms of nominal prices, but then the potential for uncertainty to be removed from the UK economy is probably going to also be a tailwind. So there are obviously, I think that latter point is likely to moderate any pullback that we are likely to have, but it does suggest we're going to get some consolidation. And considering that the FTSE 250 has rallied more than 2,000 points in this year alone, it does have room in which to consolidate. Then, when we look at the euro, well, I think people are coming around to the view that the ECB last week didn't really give us any good news in terms of stimulus. Yes, they are making more money available via the LTRO, but it is a lot less than they did last time out. They're charging more for it. The maturities are long, excuse me, the maturities are shorter. So that's not especially good news. Then we look at the trend against the dollar, and the euro has had a bit of a sawtooth pattern over the course of the last 2.5 months, and it has paused at 116, 115, 114, and it is now rebounding. It's quite unlikely, I suspect, that it's going to be able to sustain a move above 113, but rather that that is going to be the next area of potential resistance. So it's unlikely that European shares are going to have to contend with a strong euro. And that suggests that the euro stocks may have something of a tailwind behind it, and it is steadying from the region of the trend mean right now. Then it was a pretty positive day in emerging markets, and the Nifty in particular was up in rather dynamic territory and pushed on to new recovery highs. When we look at that on a weekly basis, then it is firming from the region of the trend mean. The rupee is back testing its highs from the last few months, and that's been a pretty impressive performance over the last 2 weeks. There are increasing signs that Modi is gaining in the polls. Well, considering the fact that nobody really anticipated that he was going to win an outright majority in the polls at least, then we can't rely entirely on polling, but it does look like the BJP is going to do rather well out of this election. And if that's the case, if Modi can, not least if he can get an outright majority, which would be really a very impressive feat indeed, but if he can, then that's going to be greeted by investors with a great deal of enthusiasm, I suspect, for Indian markets. Then we also have an election coming up in Indonesia, and it's going to be around the same time as what we're going to see with India. The Jakarta Composite was in negative territory in here today. The polls in Indonesia are a lot closer, and the index is coming back at to it's likely, I suspect, to unwind its overextension relative to the trend mean. There is the potential that the opposition party could gain power in Indonesia, and that wouldn't be particularly welcomed by investors. So the rupiah popped on the downside on Friday, and that's a clear upward dynamic in favor of the US dollar. It's right in the region of the trend mean, so if it's going to start to strengthen again, well, this is exactly where it needs to happen. But the result of that election is likely to have a rather catalytic event in terms of investor sentiment towards Indonesia. Then when we look at the South African rand, it has come right up to test, or the dollar has come right up to test its sequence of lower rally highs evidenced in September. And we're starting to see a little bit of a demand ebbing for the dollar. This is exactly where, if the rand is going to start to strengthen once more, that we could anticipate that starting to happen. If the dollar is going to break the downtrend, well, it's going to have to push above the 15 rand level. So this is an interesting area where there are definitely going to be views expressed. BHP is a significant weighting in the Johannesburg All Share, and the All Share is above the trend mean. It has steadied from the 50,000 area, so this is, I think, still looking like a recovery scenario. If we stick with some of the commodity producers, then Brazil was up 1,000 points on Friday, and that is taking it right up, it was up 2,500 points in here today, so that's a very clear follow-through. Well, that's taking it right up to the upper side of its range, and this remains really quite an impressive rebound. This is very clearly signaling that the market likes right-wing populists. That has been as much the case in India as it is now in Brazil, and it's certainly been the case in the US markets as well. And the A-share markets in China were also in positive territory. So that is almost, but not quite, countermanding at least part of the decline that we saw on Friday. If what it suggests is that we are going to get some two-way action. There is still a clear overbought condition relative to the trend mean, but I think the very clear signal is that the Chinese administration does not want a bubble, but they're more than happy to have an uptrend. That was a manufactured uptrend between the beginning of 2016 and the beginning of 2018, and I think that it is quite likely that we're going to see a swifter pace of advance than that particular period, but not nearly as swift as what we saw at the end of 2014 and the beginning of 2015. Well, what it does suggest is that China's probably going to be a buy-the-dip scenario for at least the next year. When we look at the H-share index in Hong Kong, well, that has also started to steady here. The key level here is going to be 11,000. It represents the upper side of that underlying range. And it's also coinciding now just about with the region of the trend mean. The 8-share index has been ranging between about 8 and 14,000 for almost a decade, and it is now coming off the lower sides of that range. Now, when we take a look at what's going on with the oil price, we've had a number of articles coming through in here today. The first is that Saudi Arabia and OPEC remain very much committed to reducing supply. So that has acted as a tailwind here for oil. What I find is most notable about the oil chart over the course of the last few months is the size of the reactions. It's approximately $6. This reaction currently underway was about $6, and the one from January through to the beginning of February was also about $6. As long as reactions are limited to $6, then this is still a recovery scenario. And there is the scope here for the price to be able to push up and through the trend mean. There was also news in here today that that by 2020 or 2021, the USA could be one of the biggest oil exporters in the world, and that's are they are at least turn into being a net exporter, which would create a very different dynamic in the global energy markets. There is probably not really another case of where the biggest consumer in the world has turned into a net exporter, and that will rather change the geopolitical priorities of the USA. We've seen ample evidence of that already. And the reluctance to become involved as the global police force has stemmed very clearly from the decline in oil prices and the rise of domestic US production. Becoming or acting as the global police force is incredibly expensive, and largely there's no need for it if the USA is now an energy exporter. It also should give pause to anyone who is particularly worried about the size of deficits. Turning into a net energy exporter is the kind of change that could really start to manifest itself in terms of the finances of the country. That's not something I've seen a great deal of commentary on, but it's certainly been something I've been thinking about for more than the last few years, and been mentioning in the longer term videos from time to time. The very fact that you have this clear change in terms of the US energy markets, and in addition to that, the size of the energy sector as a proportion of the overall market has been shrinking over the course of the last few years. So I think that's an additional interesting point here. We've had a pretty impressive rebound off the 400-point level for the broad S&P 500 energy sector. It hasn't quite yet been able to push back above the trend mean, and this certainly isn't a consistent chart. But if it can push above the 500-point level, well, at least it will have pushed through halfway in terms of this 3-year range. And there is the potential that some of the major companies are going to do better from boosting domestic resources rather than taking the risk of having to deal with the vagaries of the governments internationally, which have been trying to take bigger slices out of their national resources. If we stick with the commodity complex, gold prices were a little softer in here today, and not least because of the rebound that we've seen in the stock market. But what I think is most notable is that the clear upper dynamic we had on Friday has not been countermanded. If we were to see some steadying and then a push through 1300 later this week, that would be viewed as, I think, really quite positive. And silver prices, having got all the way right down to test the $15 level at the end of last week, they firmed on Friday and were pretty much unchanged in here today. $15 represents the upper side of that underlying little base formation, and this, if it can continue to hold the $15 area, well, then this looks like a little first step above that base. So I think there is potential here for silver to start to attract interest if the precious metal sector starts to return to favor. The very clear conclusion that we have, we start to think about the bond markets and the way that people are focusing on monetary policy and liquidity, is that the central banks of the world, most particularly China and Europe, are going to fail to raise interest rates in this cycle. They're probably going to have to engage in additional quantitative easing and/or fiscal stimulus to invigorate growth. That's going to represent a significant additional supply of bonds. Then when we look at the USA, then they're going to blow out their deficits. there is obviously then going to have to be an awful lot of debt issued. And that should be positive for the gold price. 10-year yields right now are ranging in a very tight manner between the region of the trend mean and the psychological 2.5% level, and the yield was in positive territory in here today. I think right now the bond market is pricing in the clear potential that the Federal Reserve is not going to be raising interest rates again in this cycle, and that is putting downward pressure on yields. A sustained move below 2.5% would signal a clear sign that bond investors are pricing in much lower growth. Meanwhile, if we continue to see ranging, and not least if yields were to pop above the 2.8% level, then that would be taking the potential for a rate pause off the table, and would even start to price in the potential for a rate hike. Well, I think stock markets would probably take some pause at that phenomenon. But there is the potential here that we are going to get additional monetary stimulus from various central banks around the world, that the Federal Reserve is going to be inhibited from doing anything, that they're going to be on pause for not just the next few months, but perhaps the next year or two. And that could potentially represent a bullish outcome for the stock markets, with the bond yield simply not going very much of anywhere. So when we then start to look at what are essentially the leading indices rather than simply the Nasdaq, which has been the best performer, well, the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index was in positive territory in here today, and it has rebounded really quite impressively from the region of the trend mean. Then the Russell 2000 is also starting to firm. It's at least bounced from the 1500 point level. If it can push on to new recovery highs, then that would be really very positive indeed, but at least it has demonstrated support in the region of the trend mean. Well, I've characterized the potential for the market to simply consolidate in a tight manner as being the best of all possible scenarios. Well, today's upward dynamic certainly lends credence to the best of all possible scenarios. It's still got some work to do to push through the 2800 point level on a sustained basis, and I don't think we can really sound the all clear until that actually happens. But today's move is really quite positive, and I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.